Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching. Today, we are going to take a look at values. Values are really important, especially your core personal values. That's what we're really focusing on here today. We might talk about like societal values too, but we're really focusing on your core personal values. And one thing that I have found in my coaching and also in my own self-development journey is that values, knowing what is important to you and aligning with that, does lead to a more fulfilling and happier life. So that's what we'll be talking about today. So Erin, when you hear the word core values, what do you think about?
So my initial thinking is around the VIA Institute on Character, their assessment that's free, and the values and action inventory that I use with clients sometimes, and I've used myself. And it right now, the most recent time that I have taken the survey, it showed that one of my top values, or actually my top value, is love of learning. And I think that's been so consistent throughout my entire life. However, I think it can kind of ebb and flow within those top values, so that sometimes I'm really living out my love of learning, while other times I just maybe am relying on a different value or another value of mine that might be more connected to my dynamics or whatever it might be. So, you know, just this free assessment can be a nice way to gain a level of language about one's own values and a little more clarity about kind of how one orders their values. Keeping in mind, it's just one survey of many, and it's not the only thing that one can rely on to really tell them what their values are. I think the other piece of values is just having a strong self-understanding and knowing what your values are outside of a survey as well. So that's what initially comes to mind when I think of values. And I love what you said about when we're connected to them. And I maybe not paraphrasing your words very well here, so you might need to let me know that. But when we're connected to our values, we're living our lives in a way that is more meaningful to us and just technically better for ourselves. So that's what comes to mind. And LaShawn, what about you? What's been your experience with values, maybe both professionally and personally?
With values, my experience has been professionally, when you sit down with your client, when you have an appointment and you are setting the tone or you're making it clear what you want to accomplish, I think it's really important to have a clear sense of your client's values or what the values are that you want to align with in your work together. So I find that if my client comes in and they feel like they have something that they want to change or something that's not working for them, or they're feeling burned out, drained, they're feeling really stressed, or they're feeling aimless, like they don't know what they're supposed to do, I almost always ask them, what's important to you? In positive intelligence, we have 5 sage powers that are related to the positive traits that we have as humans that help us live fulfilling lives. And one of our 5 sage powers is navigate. And navigate is all about your values, aligning yourself with what's important to you. So that's part of the process with positive intelligence. So values is a really important piece when we're looking at that framework. Personally, I find that when I'm feeling drained, distracted, when I'm feeling disappointed, or I don't really know where I'm going in life, it's usually because I've strayed away from what's important. And I often have to do an inventory. Okay, so what's important to me? And what have I done that reflects, you know, that integrity, that reflects those values, that shows me that I am living my life according to my values? And what ends up happening when I feel like I've gone astray or I'm just going through the motions is that I am motivated by what I think other people want from me, or I'm motivated by obligations or responsibilities that may not necessarily align with what's important to me, and it may not necessarily align with my values. So that's what I've found on a professional and a personal level with values. So, Erin, anything else coming up for you as I'm talking about my experience with values?
I like how you talked about the differences with your professional work and your personal work, and with the sage powers of navigation. That makes a lot of sense to have some level of an internal compass to guide our way of being in the world and our way of doing things in the world. And so I think the values can help us with both of those, you know, who we are, you know, our way of being, and then also how we live that out in our actions. And you were saying that so well. And I think with the being piece, and the action piece, there can be dissonance, especially, you know, if my being is I want to be, and my values are to be compassionate and kind, and my actions are to be achieving and always moving forward or something, there can definitely be some dissonance. So I think in coaching, it's really worth taking a look at both of those, the way of being and the actions, and seeing how they align or maybe aren't fully aligning up. And then also finding ways to make them work together if that's necessary, or finding ways to shift how you're living out your values if that's necessary. So just values in themselves open up this broader coaching conversation to help us look at our actions, to help us look at our way in which we are existing in the world and how we're showing up and, you know, how we're being when we are around other people or by ourselves. And you know, really, when I think of that way of being, I do think of it as that space of being able to hold that curiosity. And sometimes I wonder if that's such a value of mine, and it tends to be a value of the coaching profession in general. There may be something showing up in the appointment that I'm not seeing because I'm thinking that's the lens in which, you know, I must run the appointment, or which I must be looking at things. So sometimes, without, you know, questioning that value, that not only is something that I want to live out, but also is part of like my professional training, that might get in the way. Whereas other times, obviously, it was what makes a great coaching appointment. So I think I'm like, oh, is there a moment here when these values are so entrenched in frameworks in my professional training that I just, you know, forget to look at other areas that might be glaringly obvious? And so that's another place for me to kind of, as a professional, tease out, you know, how am I approaching this professionally versus, you know, what are my values personally, and where is their alignment, and where there isn't. So a lot with values, both professionally and personally. Has anyone ever told you that they've noticed a value that you really tend to embody, and then describe to you what that is, and how you do that?
That's interesting. I've had people tell me that they have seen in me that I value organization, like I'm really organized, and I really didn't notice that in myself. But someone will approach me and say, "Hey, I'd really like you to be on our board." And I would be like, "Well, why do you want me on the board? What is it that you think that I would contribute to this?" And the person would say something like, "Well, I really noticed that you are always so organized. You know, you have your notes, you have your notebook, you're always taking notes. You're very good at meeting people's needs." So I think that maybe not a value, but it is something that people have noticed, that a trait that I have. As opposed to, like, I'm thinking about, has anyone ever told me, "Well, I noticed that this is important to you"? I don't think I've really had anyone tell me that. And I would be curious to know what values I reflect to other people. Like, when they see me, and they might take an inventory, "Okay, so what does LaShawn as a person value? What's important to her?" One person did tell me that she noticed that I really go out of my way to make sure people are validated and that people feel like they matter, that they're heard. So whether or not that's a value, but it is something that I reflect and that people have told me that they see in me. How about you, Erin?
Yeah, so I definitely have seen those things in you, right? And those are so present and obvious in such a good way. So yeah, have people told me things about my values or how they kind of come forward? I would say overwhelmingly, the main one has been compassion. And I think that's so interesting that that's shown up at multiple times throughout my lives, probably have had multiple lives, but my life for the context of this conversation. And it started showing up, you know, earlier on. And I always took that in the professional lens that I need to be helping people, right? But I didn't really know what that meant. And it felt, my sense of that was so underdeveloped when I started out in my career as a high school teacher. So being able to spend more time with what that means, what compassion means acted out, what that means toward myself, what that means in my work, it's been a much more, I think, value alignment. It's been more in alignment for myself. And therefore, I think it has made me do better work. And it has helped me become more of the person I want to be. And so while this value is kind of like, I don't know, in its infant form, you know, 20 years ago, and it's been kind of being tended to for the past 20 years, it now is in a much more sophisticated form, still needs a lot of work. And then when I look back, I wasn't overtly tending to that. It wasn't my goal to say, this is my main, one of my main values, and I'm going to, you know, really try to refine how I embody this. It sort of happened a little bit organically, but also I guess there was a little bit of intention. So that makes me wonder too, right? With our values, how we're cultivating them, how we're living them out, what's our intentionality behind them versus just being part of our life journey and simply that. So that's one that's come up. Collaborator has also come up quite a bit. And so those are, I guess I think of the C words, compassion and collaborator. So values are hard. Like when I try to wrap my brain around what I'm talking about with values, there's so much nuance to them. And there's so many different ways to go. So LaShawn, what are your thoughts at this point? Like what might be a good direction for this conversation when we think about values?
There are two things that came up. One was when you said lives, I'm like, sometimes it does kind of feel like we live multiple lives because the person I was in my teens, 20s, 30s, and now my 40s is very different. And so that is connected to the other thing that came up when you were talking is how values change as you get older. And then there are also values, like when you were talking about this compassion, people were seeing that this was a value, that this was something that you embody or that you reflect in what you do. This is compassion, which I've also seen. And the collaboration too, of course, we're collaborating. So it just came naturally to both of us. But there are those things in our lives based on our experiences, our life phases, where we are in our lives. You know, when we're young and we're not married, then we get married and then we have children. And, you know, then we start thinking about after our career, what are we going to do? That kind of thing. Those things change. But then there are our values that don't change, that become more pronounced and they become more prominent as we mature and we become wiser. So I have several questions that come up. One is, Erin, do you feel like there are certain values that you've had from the beginning? One thing that I've noticed about myself is my generosity. I'm a very generous person and I have been a generous person since I can remember, although my siblings might say otherwise when I was younger, but as I can remember, I've always been very generous and wanting to give. And I really love giving to people and seeing how that lights up their face or how they feel good when I give them something. Then there are values that have changed over time. One value that has changed over time is how I spend my time. So, for example, I used to value staying at home or maybe reading a book, but now I value going out, traveling, doing things that are really fun and exciting. And I'm a little bit more hedonistic, I would say, in my as I've gotten matured a little bit more. And also, I've been exposed to luxury, and I've been exposed to things that are like, oh, I really like that. And I didn't know I liked that, you know, like spa water and that kind of thing. So, two questions. The first question, let's take the first question and then we can segue into the next. Are there values that have always been there for you that have only gotten bigger or more pronounced in your life?
Yes, compassion, as I already mentioned, and then this kind of curiosity slash love of learning slash like zest for life. That has been since I was a toddler and nicknamed Sprocket because I had a lot of energy. And so, that's something that has persisted and has it's been innate to my personality, innate to who I am, from the beginning. And, on the other side of that, with some of my grief experiences, those things have shifted tremendously through that, just during those dark, difficult periods of my life where those core values of mine were not showing up and couldn't even be accessed. And that was okay. I needed something a little bit different. Maybe sometimes it's a good idea to slow things down, right? And that sort of thing. So that's where there's been a little bit of a shift. It's like an ebb and flow sometimes of some of my key core values, where they'll show up more in some parts of my life and maybe show up a little less and kind of keep going on that path. I think the one that's changed for me the most has been the way that I think about compassion and the way that I think about some of my core values. So it's almost not like they've changed. Well, they have changed, but it's the way I think about them that has changed due to all the lived experience and all the learnings. And I guess one can say that's humility. And I've learned humility more along the way, and that is not necessarily a main value of mine. I wish it was. I knew it. I know it should be. But it's kind of like that humility is a key value on some of those values assessments, and maybe that's part of it, is learning to engage with that energy, being a very high energy individual, and contain that in a way that is, more wise. So I don't have a really solid answer for, if new values have come into my life and in terms of, how I've shifted. I will say most of the time my values tend to shift when I have career shifts or career changes or reprioritize things in my life, like my husband and my kids and things like that. LaShawn, what about you on that question? Because I just really love that question. I would love to hear from you on that.
Yeah, like I said, there's the generosity. I also have compassion. That's really been an underlying thing in my life. Really looking at other people and wanting to connect with them. So I think connection has always been a value of mine. I think that I've always felt connected to people, and I feel like I'm part of a whole. And the more that I get to know individuals that are also part of the whole, I want to know them. That's always been part of my life. I remember when I was really little in my preschool, there was this Hmong woman, and I just felt connected to her. And she disappeared out of my life. And it was so sudden, and I didn't understand it. And I remember that my mother and the people who worked at the preschool were reacting to my reaction to her not being in my life. I wrote letters. I tried to call her. I tried to find her. Finally, my mother told me that this woman was going through something with her husband, and that in Hmong society, they disconnect from, society in order to deal with whatever they needed to do, so that I couldn't talk to her. And then I probably wouldn't, I never did see her, but she made such an impact in my life. But I remember I went back and I found these letters that I wrote to her, and they were quite mature for my age. I think I was 8 or 9. And they were just really very deeply loving and concerned with her, and also expressing this feeling of appreciation for her. So that's always been something that has been part of my life, is appreciation. And to your point, I have found that compassion, appreciation, the connectedness, my view of those three concepts have deepened, and I have changed my view of them. I don't see them at the surface level. When I was younger, it was just a reaction. It wasn't an intellectual undertaking. It was just, I felt so close to this woman or people in my life that I would be deeply involved. And people would react to that like, wow, she's like really unusual. And now that I'm an adult, I recognize that, but I can temper it. Before, I couldn't really temper it because I didn't really have that filter as a young, inexperienced, rather sheltered child. But now, as I've gotten older, I can recognize I feel connected to all. There are certain things that I can share, but I don't have to share it all, and that's okay. That is something that has shifted and changed for me. And as I mentioned before, I have developed quite recently different values because I've become more authentic. And in my ability to become more authentic, to kind of peel away the desire to seek approval, which used to be a value and is becoming less and less of a value. It's becoming more of a self-determination is becoming more of a value for me. Authenticity is becoming more of a value. Whereas when I was younger and maturing, I was always looking outwards to see, does that person approve? Does society approve? Am I normal? Now I'm just like, am I authentically me? Is this my true self? Is this really what I want? As opposed to, is that going to make that person sad? Or is that going to take away from that person's experience if I say, well, I don't like that? So that's what's happened for me in my values, is I've become more interested in my own authenticity. And as I've become more authentic, I've noticed my values shifting. How about you, Erin? Anything coming up for you?
I love how you said that, and I just pictured you as this young girl slash, young woman, really being so interested in, sensitive to somebody else. And I love how you have highlighted how those values, they all kind of frame around sensitivity. That was the word I kept thinking of as you were talking, and how that kind of bloom throughout your life to become something that you nurtured and understand how you can make that level of sensitivity and care toward others, work for your own current values and your wants and needs now as an adult woman, right? And I think that highlights something really important with the term sensitivity. And that, especially, I think more so with our generation, but maybe this younger generation is still dealing with this in some ways, but that level of sensitivity is typically kind of taken away from us as kids if we're more sensitive, or if we cry a little bit more, or are more open to appreciating beauty a little bit more. That tends to be something that isn't fostered or developed in society in the way that something intellectual is in the school setting. And there are many reasons why, and I don't want to go into, all of that, but It does make me feel a little bit sad in some ways that what would that look like to have more intentionality for people who are sensitive to have that developed? And you've obviously done that work, and you've done that as you talked about with your own authenticity, which I think is a testament to, your self-determination, as you said, as part of your values, and in your ability to just be incredibly, resilient and kind and smart and so many things. And then I just think of all those sensitive people and getting left behind in society, right, consistently, when there's so much value in that and there's such a gift in that. And it just makes me, want to go back and find ways to foster that more in my children, as well as, taking care of my own inner child, but also just maybe even a little bit of an advocacy, bent here, that's something that unfortunately gets taken away from us so much as kids. And yeah, so that's what came up over here and went kind of a little bit of a different direction there. But yeah, so values.
Well, Erin, that was so poignant for me, what you said, because I mean, I even feel like a little emotional about that because the little LaShawn saw for the first time that her sensitivity and her big heart was shameful. At the time, I felt like there was something wrong with me, that I was, somehow some kind of, not broken, but there's something really wrong with me because of the way that the adults in the situation were behaving. I overheard one of the teachers talking to another teacher and saying, "I found this letter that she wrote and I thought it was her husband." And then I started to feel like, oh, is there something wrong with me? Like that I love this woman so
Gosh.
much that maybe there's something wrong. That was the first time that I remember feeling like I wasn't acting normal. My reaction wasn't normal. And it was such a huge, I would say, turning point for me, because before that I was an open book. And then I started to notice, oh, I'm not like the other kids. I there's something wrong with me, I think. And then I started to turn within and hide that part of myself. So when you mentioned that, I didn't even realize that until you said that. That sensitivity is not nurtured for the most part. And that brings me to a thought about how values can collide and how, when you are met with someone who has different values from you, that could cause a conflict. So that's where my mind was going when you were talking. One, it was like an emotional reaction to, oh my gosh, it felt like you saw the little LaShawn who was like so open and so willing to love and feel that love. And there was no barrier there. I was able to feel that connection with that woman. And then society turns around and sees me reacting to her not being in my life anymore so suddenly without any explanation. And they saw it as like abnormal or strange. Like the way they were talking about me was very kind of, ooh, what's going on with this child, So, and then I was sensitive to that too. I'm very sensitive to other people's reactions to me. So, yeah, that was very interesting that you brought that up because I wasn't even thinking it at the time. But as you were talking, it was like a visceral reaction to what you said. Like, oh, my heart. Wow. That was, wow. I didn't even see it that way. But now I totally, yeah. It's just like when you were saying that, it was like, oh, yeah, the shame and the need to hide and the need to filter and the need to protect. That all came from that moment.
And that's why looking at one's values is so important too, right? If those adults in their lives maybe would have taken a moment to sit with their values and how they are impacting others, it might have been a different experience. And And we're so quick to judge, so quick to judge in our society. And so that, you know, I started like with a little bit of a critique on curiosity, and I want to bring back the goodness of curiosity here too, because if people would just be more curious, there would be a way to understand how do we foster these things that are a little bit different, because clearly so much is broken in this world, right? So things that are a little bit different add so much value. They heal, right? They help bring, you know, goodness into the world and those things. And so I think it's just, you know, I guess the word goodness comes to mind as a key value of how we treat our young people, how we treat ourselves, and you know, how do we foster that in these bigger systems and everything, which is a big question. And I don't think the systems question is the question for our time today, but just when we explore our values, like where is the goodness in them for us and for others? So.
Yeah, that's a very good point in terms of really seeing like the goodness. And when you were talking about goodness, one of the things that I was doing a little bit of research before this episode, and I came across the, you know, there's all kinds of things. If you put in values, if you Google it, you'll get like millions of results. And I just got like the top results. And some of the things that came up was this list of core values that came from the scientist Shalom Schwartz. And one of the, I think it's the 10th value is benevolence. And I immediately thought, yeah, shout out to our podcast.
Yes.
Coaching as benevolence. And so I think that really speaks to one of the values that we both share is benevolence, kindness, goodwill. That's such an important value, I believe, that could be nurtured and fostered more in society. I find that when someone is kind, someone is quiet, someone has more, I would say, and I'll probably get reamed for this, but like feminine traits, feminine power is not as valued as that aggressive power or assertive power where you take charge. And one of the things that I hear a lot from conservatives is the facts don't care about your feelings. You know, that whole head and heart dichotomy and how society does tend to lean towards the head more than the heart. And we're learning more about, you know, the electromagnetic field of the heart, the gut, all of these like beautiful, wonderful things, like the second brain being the gut, you know, that it's not just the head, but it seems that society really values logic. And we fail to acknowledge that our emotions come first, and the logic is actually our way of making sense of the emotions. But it's really the emotions. It's really at the emotional level that we interpret or that we gather
Make
information,
decisions.
make decisions. Thank you. It's the emotions. Then we use logic to explain. One of the things that I heard, I don't know who it was, but they were talking about how visionaries, people who have bright ideas. They'll have this spark of inspiration, and then they'll use logic and data to back that up. But at its heart, it's the spark of inspiration that is the impetus of whatever they are wanting to do. It's a dream, it's a eureka. And then they go back and use the data. So I think that one of the things that we can value or we can foster as a society is that balance between the head and the heart, and value equally the head and the heart. But I think it's heart and the head, because I think the heart comes first, and then the head comes back and says, oh, well, let me just make this make sense for you, because you aren't having a visceral reaction to this. You don't have this quantum or metaphysical experience of this. So let me use my head to interpret it for you. And that's how I kind of see how the head and the heart work together. Any thoughts on that, Erin?
But I think that that's so true, and I think we're learning so much more about neurodivergence and the promises of really engaging everyone with those differences, to create something much more beautiful, much more effective, much more profound, and even much more logical, right? Like the complexity of things, it's just beyond what I can grapple with and understand. But I do know that when they are looked at with various ways of thinking and doing and living, something more beautiful tends to come about. And I think of all the great artists and great inventors and different things like that. Many of them were neurodivergent or are neurodivergent. And there's creativity in that, right? And there's beauty in that. And there's something that goes beyond something that I can't even see or feel, just how we have way more senses than the five senses and what people thought. So I don't know. I feel like we're at this place in society where maybe a societal value, like to wrap everything together, is creativity and innovation, hopefully, and a way to come up with some really impactful and compassionate solutions to some of the biggest problems that we're facing in our world. And as you said, you can't do that without the heart. You can't do that without the emotional piece too. So I think that part of our values as coaches are being able to tap into all aspects of that, the head, the heart, and that word hadn't come up until towards the end of the podcast, which is pretty, I don't know, it's kind of cool, right? Like that's what I like about what we're doing here is we are coming to this space and having a conversation with kind of no preconceptions or no intentions, for lack of better words, but to hopefully spread goodness and help people understand themselves a little bit more. And as we have these conversations, we are understanding ourselves more as well. So I guess maybe that's a good way to circle in on a coaching nugget of wisdom. Values are so complex. So have a conversation with a friend like this for an hour or so and really try to get at some of the nuances of your values and their values and see where that takes you.
Yeah, and I would add to that, where do your values show up in your life? And where are you acting in alignment with your values? And where could you bring that more to the forefront in your life? Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Meychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.